On this edition of the Iowa Business Report,
the fact that we've actually lost population needs to be a wake-up call for all of us.
A new review of Iowa's economic climate has some bright spots, but also areas of concern. Some cities are recovering from the pandemic more quickly than others. And we'll introduce you to a woman whose family background well prepared her for her current business. This is the Iowa Business Report for the first weekend of February 2021.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com. Here is Jeff Stein.
The Iowa Business Council released its annual nonpartisan review of the state's economic climate this past Wednesday morning. Known as Iowa's Competitive Dashboard, the report measures the state's standing nationally in five categories: economic growth, workforce and education, governance, health and wellness, and demographics and diversity. Now, for each category, Iowa is awarded a cumulative score that determines whether it is outperforming, competitive, or underperforming nationally. As a whole, Iowa ranks competitive in each category. However, additional data provides further context. Joe Murphy is executive director of the Iowa Business Council, and he shared the findings with me.
Data continues to come in every single day, every single week, every single month with the full economic impact of the pandemic that we're obviously still in. So next year's report in 2022 will have a better and more fuller picture of how Iowa compared in the pandemic year of 2020 as opposed to this report. But that being said, to your question, you know, we're really excited to see Iowa's gross domestic product continue to increase. A couple of years ago, we actually were sort of flatlined out. We had about $190 billion worth of gross state product for 2 years in a row. This last year, we increased that to $194.7 billion. That's significant. You know, $4.7 billion in additional growth is a huge number, particularly for a state like Iowa. But I think it's also important to note that that growth occurred where we had volatile trade markets that we talked about in a lot of different areas. We had volatile weather patterns. We had manufacturing concerns with respect to trade policies, particularly aluminum and steel and other things like that. So when you think about our members of the Business Council and you think about other small manufacturers that deal with those components, the fact that we increased in gross state product is really important. And the other thing I'd point to is the fact that Iowa's median income increased by about $1,700 per household, which doesn't seem like a lot when you first say $1,700, but you know, for a state like Iowa that has a low cost of living, that's significant. And I think anytime wages are increasing in this state is something that should be celebrated and should be talked about.
At the very least, you're going in the right direction. Wages are going up. And when you mention the gross state product, this is in a year where the economy contracted for the year as a whole, but the fourth quarter showed some growth. And so we are actually, the way it sounds, a little better in Iowa than perhaps the national average on similar comparisons.
Right. And I think it's, you know, like I said earlier, it's important to note that we'll get full data representing that as the months continue and final reports and tabulations and books are closed out. Mm-hmm. But I think you're absolutely right. We've seen in our state, particularly because we did not have a statewide shelter in place order, businesses were able to continue to operate and continue to operate in a safe manner. I do think that you'll see Iowa's GDP continue to grow and grow at a much faster clip than our neighbors in other states that were shut down. You know, we just know, looking at the monthly tax receipts, for example, that the Nonpartisan Legislative Services Agency puts out, our surpluses are still there, and our rainy day funds are still fully funded. And I know that the legislature has plans to spend some of that money, and they should. But to your point, you know, Iowa has weathered this pandemic storm much better than a number of other states around us.
As you look at the various categories, are there some areas that Iowa has performed very well in over time or presently? And again, this is a competitive dashboard, so the idea is to compare with others. So what are the things that if someone were to call you from out of state and say, all right, what does Iowa have going for it compared to what other deal I might strike elsewhere? What are some of the key points that you would point toward?
Well, we're blessed in this state to have a number of high-performing areas, number one. But one of the things that I point out is the fact that we're continuing to be a top 10 state with manufacturing value as a percentage of our gross domestic product. That percentage indicates the fact that we have a strong manufacturing backbone in this state. But it's also important to note that in addition to the manufacturing aspect, our economy is well diversified. So manufacturing, for example, this last year represented just under 18% of our gross state product. And while that's a very big number compared to our economy, that also means that we have a lot of other things going for us with economic diversification, which is really important. Another thing, you know, that we're perennially a top 10 player in is our labor participation rate. Iowans work, right? And we're seeing that month in and month out, and our unemployment rate, while it has crept up during the pandemic, continues to be significantly lower than literally almost every other state in the nation. So we're very excited about that. We're very excited about we're continuing to see high school students graduate and then get some level of training beyond high school. That's a huge initiative for the Future Ready Iowa. So there's a lot of things that we're pointing to that our core competencies, you could say, for the state of Iowa.
Those are all wonderful foundational points upon which to build, but obviously not everything is where it should be or could be in order to enhance competitiveness. What are some of the areas that you can highlight very distinctly and say, these are things where Iowa really needs to improve or things we need to work on if we're going to maximize our potential and take advantage of all of those other positive things you just mentioned?
Well, I think the thing that really strikes us right now is the fact that we have a population concern in this state, bordering on a population crisis. You know, our data shows that for the first time in a long time, literally years, Iowa's population has actually decreased. And that's alarming. You know, we're still hovering around that 3.1 million in total population. We decreased total population by about 1,000 people. More concerning than that is our net overall migration decreased by about 2,300 people. So that means more people are leaving the state than are coming into the state. We'd like to literally turn that number upside down and then take off from there. So that's a very concerning point for us for a couple of reasons. Number one, a healthy state is a growing state, obviously. So we need to grow our population. But secondly, as businesses look to expand their operations in Iowa, they can only do that if they literally have the people in state to take those jobs and to fulfill those jobs. And the tough truth on that, Jeff, is the fact that if we don't have the population to support these companies, businesses will be forced to look elsewhere for that talent. And that's a very big concerning point for us as the Iowa Business Council and for us as a state. We need to reverse that trend. We're working really hard to do that. It's great to see such strong bipartisan support for some of these population growth initiatives right now in the legislature, but more needs to be done. It needs to be addressed.
Very interesting that you mentioned that we're talking about a net decrease, because I think some of us have kind of given ourselves a sense of false security when we look at other states. We'll say other states are growing. So is Iowa, but just not as fast as those others. And that's when we start talking about losing a representative in Congress, et cetera. Hey, we're still growing. We're just not growing as fast as some of these other states. But you're talking about a decrease, and that does lead to the use of the word crisis appropriately.
Yeah, I don't think we can say that anymore, that we're growing, but just not as much as the other states, to your exact point. That is a concern for us. You know, we're greatly anticipating to see, you know, the final census numbers as those, you know, will be coming out over the next year to see where we officially end up. But regardless of what that data says, this has been an issue for a long time. 10 years ago, we lost a representative in Congress. You know, there's concern about that moving forward with this next census. And if not this time, then 10 years from now. And while that's a little bit of a in the weeds political argument, you know, political strength in Washington is hugely important. And Iowa has a great bipartisan history of working together to benefit all Iowans. And if our political makeup shifts or decrease, that just ends up hurting us in the long run, not to mention all the business and economic consequences that I just mentioned as far as us losing population.
this just starts snowballing unless you're able to get a handle on it. And obviously, if either one of us had the answer, we'd be putting it into place. So what are some things, though, that are being talked about by those wiser than me in terms of how to, I'll say, stop the bleeding and then get to healing the situation?
Well, I think it's really important to note that, you know, while this is some troubling data that we're sharing for the first time today, you know, I think there is some great momentum potentially to reverse that trend or stop it before it becomes a trend. I think first of all, we need to market this state. You know, sometimes people don't like to hear about, you know, marketing spends on things like that, but we've got a lot of really great things going for us here in the state of Iowa. Low cost of living, relatively affordable housing, wonderful safe schools, wonderful safe communities. You know, coming on the heels of pandemic, that sounds pretty attractive for a lot of people. And I think that we can really take advantage of some of those key differentiators, particularly in some of those high cost states that surround us, whether it be, you know, Illinois or Minnesota and Minneapolis and some of these high cost cities, these mega cities that are just literally losing population to the tunes of tens of thousands. All those people are going somewhere. Why not Iowa? And I think the good thing for us is the fact that our political leaders, you know, starting with the governor and then also, you know, bipartisan leaders as well, or among the Democrats as well, have really embraced this notion of affordable housing, broadband, childcare. Those are all initiatives that we've been promoting for a number of time that can really level or set the backbone for sustained economic growth. And as people continue to remote work, they want to remote work from a place that doesn't cost a lot to live. If we can figure out broadband, we can figure out a whole heck of a lot of other problems. And so I think it really starts there, and we're really excited to continue to work on that issue. But the fact that we've actually lost population needs to be a wake-up call for all of us.
Joe Murphy, Executive Director of the Iowa Business Council. We connected via Zoom on Tuesday, February 2nd. You can review the full Iowa's Competitive Dashboard by going to their website, iowabusinesscouncil.org. And there's more to the conversation. You can hear it all by listening to the IBR Extra podcast. Just go to totallyiowa.com and click on radio programs. Still to come, cities that have recovered from the pandemic and using what you know to help others. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report. The Iowa Business Report is presented by the Center for Business Growth and Innovation at the University of Northern Iowa, working to maximize economic impact for Iowa entrepreneurs. Online at cbgi.uni.edu. The national unemployment rate in December remained at 6.7%, but Iowa has rebounded now at 3.1%, only 0.3% above what it was when the pandemic began. And Iowa has the third lowest rate in the country. So it's no surprise that two of Iowa's larger cities have scored well in a national assessment of unemployment rates. The personal finance website WalletHub this week released a report on cities whose weekly unemployment claims are recovering the quickest. Des Moines ranked number 8 in the country on the list, with Cedar Rapids close behind at number 10. Sioux Falls, South Dakota held the top spot as the nation's most recovered city, with Rapid City, South Dakota right behind. Lincoln and Omaha, Nebraska, both also in the top 10. Now, some of this has to do with our high number of essential food supply chain workers and with state policies in these Midwest areas that did not impose mandatory lockdowns. And you know how difficult the recovery has been documented to be from those states that did take a harder line. Coming up, making family business your business. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report. The Iowa Business Report is presented by the Center for Business Growth and Innovation at the University of Northern Iowa. Follow them on Twitter at UNICBGI. In this week's business profile, we meet Dr. Heidi Vermeer-Quist, a licensed clinical psychologist, a family business consultant, and a third-generation shareholder of Vermeer Corporation in Pella. She and her husband, Chad, co-own and direct VQ Consult, their family business consulting practice.
as well as Heartland Christian Counseling, an outpatient mental health clinic serving the Des Moines metro area. And as you'll hear, her background clearly led her to her current vocation.
I did grow up in Pella, Iowa at Vermeer as my family business and did work in HR. I was an HR intern. It became pretty apparent to me, though, that the sorts of things that I would want to do in HR, I felt were almost an ethical dilemma, because being a family owner and doing a lot of the kind of hiring and evaluation, the kind of work that I love doing, which is working with people on their development, what would have been a pretty difficult conflict of interest in many ways, in order for people to really feel like I was both an advocate for them and an owner. You know, mm-hmm. It just was messy. Mm-hmm. So at that point in my 20s, I felt very much drawn into the field of psychology and organizational psychology. So I got my doctorate in clinical psychology and I still work in that. In fact, my husband and I own two clinics, Heartland Christian Counseling out here in central Iowa. And we run those. So we're pretty busy. But in the midst of that, about 15 years ago, became very engaged at Vermeer in developing our current family office. So I worked part-time within the company, not so much day to day, but in the development of our family office, and organized our ownership council. And those are all things that I'm kind of trying to pass on ideas with regard to the UNI Family Business Forum and the Next Gen Group. So developed a lot of great practices, learned from a lot of really excellent other family companies that have gone before. Actually, now it's really running quite well. My cousin Mindy is the ownership council chair. I have another cousin, Grant, who I'm starting to talk to, who is probably going to succeed her. We've got some really good things going at Vermeer. It looks like we'll keep going as a family-owned business. We're hoping, we're at 72 years in family business. We're hoping for a century. That's our next goal. So, but then from there, and I served on the board of directors for a term. So right now, though, I'm enjoying working with other family businesses. And so I think that combination of the training, organizational psychology, and then doing the work of actual family business governance development, now I'm enjoying working with other family businesses in the mostly central Iowa area. I have to be careful because I only have so much time. So that is why I joined UNI, because they can help me organize my time a little bit more effectively, and they provide more resources too than I can just do on my own. So it's a start of a beautiful partnership for me with UNI.
Well, and certainly you have this family business thing down pat with you and your husband running. Well, you're running the clinics together too. So you've got.
Yeah, that's true. So we've launched a new family business.
Yeah.
Which is actually so interesting that a lot of families in business do end up being quite entrepreneurial from generation to generation. So yeah, we do. We have our own family business. I launched it out about 3 years ago, and within 3 years, we've assumed two clinics. So we went from an employee of one to an employee of almost 30 with Heartland Christian Counseling. So wow. Now we're kind of learning both sides of the spectrum, from startup to now also being involved in a 72-year-old business all my life. So, but it's good.
Well, it's challenging, but it is worth it, because again, if you have the passion for the family business and you want to see that succeed, as you said, for the Vermeer company, you now have a goal of let's make it to a century as a privately owned, family owned company. That helps you relate, does it not, to some of these other folks who come through the Family Business Center at the University of Northern Iowa to help them realize it's not just them. In other words, other people have been here before them, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time.
Yeah, that, and I think that's such good news for people. It is a joy to be at some of these meetings, the Family Forum Breakfast Series, the Next Generation peer groups that I'm involved in, and to see them come together and in many ways bond pretty immediately, because they can recognize in each other that this is not easy. This is really difficult, and it is limiting how free we often feel to be really vulnerable and open about our frustrations with our family members, because it's probably not appropriate to just share with other employees. it might not be appropriate because it is a family member that I'm struggling with. And to be able to have some other outside perspectives, as well as really looking at our own blind spots, what, you know, where in this struggle am I needing to grow, to become more mature emotionally, logically, in my industry, you know, and what are the next steps that would work well so that I don't get stuck in resentment, so I don't get stuck in some years and years long competition with my sibling. The stories of dysfunction that kind of end up destroying family businesses are more common than the success stories, especially when you get to the second and third generations. So it's a harder path to pursue family business long-term, but I think those that do end up growing tremendously together. And I think the impacts that they can have on their employees, on their team, and the team on them, and then to the blessings in many ways shared within their local community of how they can give back. Those stories are just pretty inspiring.
Dr. Heidi Vermeer Quist, who along with her husband Chad co-own and direct VQ Consult and Heartland Christian Counseling, both in Central Iowa. She referenced her developing role in the Family Business Center, part of Advance Iowa, based at the University of Northern Iowa, and we'll talk more about that in a future edition of this program. We spoke via Zoom on Friday, January 29th. And that brings us to the close of this week's program. We're back again next week at this same time. In the meantime, you can listen to all or part of today's program by going to totallyiowa.com and clicking on the radio programs link. You'll also find podcasts of full interviews with many of the folks you hear on this program. They're listed as IBR Extras and IBR Business Profiles. And we're also found on all the major podcast distributors, 18 in all now actually, including iHeart, Apple, and Google. We welcome your comments. Send them by email to radio@totallyiowa.com. I'm Jeff Stein. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a prosperous week.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com.